Okay. Okay. So that everybody will know. Okay, well, keep me informed if I can help. Everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and get started. I understand that we have a quorum on the way. We do want to move the meeting on as quickly as possible so members can have some time. This is a long, involved day. We have our annual budget to approve, so I want to make sure that we're moving forward in an expeditious manner. The public comment, I would like to ask if you all would at least let us go and have the presentation from our auditor, and then I'll have the public comment, and maybe more members will be here. I got you. Thank you. So what we would like to do is we cannot call the meeting officially to order, but I would like to ask for the auditor to give her brief presentation, and come on up. And after her presentation, if we don't have a quorum, what I would also then like to do is if either have a public comment, or if they will wait, if they don't have any concerns with the appointees. There are some people in the audience that are here for appointments. I don't want to hold them up, and then we'll move in that manner. But we'll take it as it comes. We're being joined by Councilmember Natalyn Archibong, and we have already been joined by Councilmember Joyce Shepherd at the beginning of the meeting. So we're going to go now to Ms. Leslie Ward. Wait a minute, hold on.
On.
Okay. Okay, it's on now.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm Leslie Ward, City Auditor, and I'm here today to brief you on our most recent audit report. It's a report on the city's process for financial disclosures. That function is assigned to the Ethics Office and the Ethics Board. And the Associate Ethics Officer and the Ethics Investigator are both here this morning to respond. We did this audit. It was on our fiscal year 16 audit plan because the former Ethics Officer and the Ethics Board had requested that we look at the disclosure process and look at ways to improve it. So we put it on our audit plan, and we started this work in the fall, I believe. It was early in 2016. So we used the disclosures that had been filed and processed for 2014 as our basic data. As you know, the financial disclosure requirements are in the city code in the purview of the Code of Ethics and the Ethics Office. And about over 1,700 people were required to file in the most recent years. And that, as I'm sure you know, includes all elected officials, the mayor's staff, department heads, senior finance staff, attorneys, auditors, inspectors, and various people that perform various other job functions that have the possibility of having a conflict of interest that could affect what they do in their job. Also, volunteers, board and commission members are also required to file. But even with all those various groups, of the 1,700 or so who were required to file, over 1,300 of those are city employees. That's about 75%. And some of the disclosure requirements vary for different groups of required filers. We had one clear objective, and that was to assess whether the financial disclosures are complete and accurate. So in our audit work, we did identify some areas that could lead to some inaccurate disclosures and some incomplete disclosures. There were a variety of reasons, and all of our audit recommendations revolve around those reasons and opportunities for improvement. To start with, the description of who must file in the city code and the job structures, job codes and job titles in our HR personnel structure don't really match. I mean, the Code of Ethics describes sort of job functions and job activities, and of course sometimes there are many titles and codes for city jobs that may not describe exactly what the person does. So we did find that there were opportunities because of that mismatch. They do start with a computer run to identify the right job codes, but there's still a lot of manual work that has to go on to make sure that the right people, the right filers are actually included. So the first recommendation we made was to consider some revisions to the code, the section on financial disclosures, to try to get a better match between the actual description of who must file and the actual sort of HR personnel system job codes. Second, we also found that there were some issues in the e-filing system that's been in place for since early in the life of the ethics office, and now everyone, all filers, are required to file electronically. And we found that there are some the way the database is designed, the way the e-filing system is designed, there are some opportunities for that could let missing information or incomplete information or conflicting information from one question to another that could get through, you know, that would be accepted in the database. So since the database is, it's been a while since it was created and there are always improvements in technology, we recommended that the office try to get that e-filing system updated so they could add some system controls and also perhaps use some database of public records when they review the disclosures. So number one, try to make the system stop certain kinds of information problems from getting through, and number two, to consider the resources for doing some review and possibly investigation of the disclosures that are filed. Right now, the office really only has had the resources to investigate complaints, and we think we used a public database to review just a sample of disclosures, and we did find some we did find a small number of disclosures that looked like they could potentially have the filer could potentially have a conflict of interest, perhaps with identifying a second job that looked close to what their job in the city is, and the kind of data that is in the public databases that allowed us to identify potential reasons to investigate. There were 17 of those. So that's a very small number. That's what, like 1%. But we did recommend that the ethics office consider investigating those disclosures a little more carefully and see if there is reason to open an investigation in some cases. So those really were the main issues that we found. All of our recommendations, we made five specific recommendations in those areas. The ethics officer and the ethics board agreed fully with four of them and agreed partially with one of them. And as I said, Ms. Jabus Sengova, the associate ethics officer, is here if you want to hear from her about what they're doing.
Yes, I would, and she can more specifically speak to the partial agreement, since we understand all the others were agreed on. If you can come up, please.
Good morning, members of council. Jebu Singovan, I'm here on behalf of the Ethics Office, City of Atlanta Ethics Office. In terms of the recommendations, we did have an opportunity to review this, and this predates me. Ms. Hickson, our former ethics officer, reviewed these. And so most of the proposed responses were things that she agreed to. In terms of, the recommendation in terms of the partial agreement, that would go to the 17 filers, the information providing the 17 filers. And the partial agreement was that we did not have a position in place. And it's my understanding the reason why she was partially agreeing to is that we did not have the resources or the staff in place to review the 17 filers. However, we are going to review that information. The city auditor's office has provided that information to us, and so it's one of the tasks that we have set ahead of us.
And in terms of the co-review, and I know the Board of Ethics is trying to get an ethics officer, et cetera, but would you communicate to them, at least for me, I think that when you're reviewing that, we really need to be clear about who we're trying to capture. Because, it seems that as if that there are a lot of people who are being captured to fill out these reports, and so you'll end up getting thousands of reports and fewer results. And an example is an employee had contacted me, I think it was for this last one, and they are just a worker, they work in a treatment plan or whatever, and they're like, well, why do I have to fill this out? And my thing is, I think there's reasons why, to me, that we want to fill them out. So if people are, particularly in this position, there's no contact with the public, that position only operates with other people who do maintenance or whatever they do around a plant, so they're not in contact with the public. They don't make decisions on contracting. I'm just not clear about why we would capture someone like that other than someone who, if we kind of look at, where the areas of particular potential conflict and people who have to do that. So if we deal with people who are making contracting decisions or that kind of thing, not dealing with individuals with the public or council members or what, I don't know. It just seems to me like it's so broad that you could probably reduce the number of people.
Well, and you, I don't disagree with that, which is one of the recommendations that we did agree with, which is proposed revisions to the financial disclosure law, because there are folks that we are capturing that should not be based on their job functions and any risk of potential conflicts of interest. And at the same token, there are folks that we need to capture that there is a risk of conflicts of interest, and by virtue of their job responsibilities, they do need to be filing. So that is one of the recommendations that we plan to follow through with, is in terms of revising that code provision. We have, as of recently, of 2015, we did put out an opinion in terms of our process and how we come about capturing folks in that. And the thing is, a lot of times there are certain employees that may not be happy with filing, but we do, based on our review of what their job duties and the risk of potential for conflicts, we will require them to file. So we'll continue to do that, push forward with the proposed revisions, and it's our hope that that would clear any ambiguity, in terms of the system. People will be clear about why they're filing.
Certainly look forward, our committee will look forward to receiving that. Any other questions related to this particular communication, members? Thank you. This is how I would, one second. Mr. Howard, one second.
Okay.
How I'd like to proceed, we do not have a quorum yet, and we need to check on Ms. Winslow. And what I would ask from the public, if you all would work with me on this, we have some members of the public that are here that have shown up for appointments, and I'd like to hear from them at least, so if they need to leave, they can leave. So when we do get a quorum, we can go ahead and vote. What I'd like to do is add the 2 minutes that's at the beginning of the agenda and the 3 minutes at the end of the agenda and give everybody the 5 minutes all together. If after this if that's okay with you, unless there's something you just have to. Okay.
That's good work.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to ask, because I don't know exactly who's who, if there are people here who have attended because you needed to attend before the Committee on Council. I'll take one or two of you now. Mr. Terrell? Okay. Okay. So whichever makes it to the mic first, just introduce yourself and your appointment. And I'm going to go ahead and do this, and then by the time we have a quorum, if you will vote, I think, favorably. So if you need to leave, you'll be able to do that. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Terrell, and I'm being appointed to the Atlanta Fulton County Recreation Authority Board.
So have you served, or you're being reappointed? Is this your first time?
My first time appointed to this board, yes.
Tell us why you like to serve.
Well, I am a resident of the city of Atlanta, and I have been appointed to the Atlanta Commission on Women Board. I was on that several years ago. I'm very much interested in continuing my service with the community. I'm excited about what's happening down at Turner Field, and understand that everything that encompasses not only just Turner Field, but Phillips Arena and those other areas, there's a lot of good work that's being done and on the horizons, and I'd like to be a part of that.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. As soon as we get a quorum, we'll vote.
All right.
And send it with favorable recommendation, expectingly. And thank you for your willingness to serve.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good morning. My name is Richard Turnley, and I am being appointed to the Public Safety and Judicial Facilities Board. And be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Is this your first time?
This is my first time, yes.
Okay. All right. And you interested? She's asking, why are you interested in this?
Sure. I've been a resident of the city of Atlanta for 25 years, since I was 21 years old. You don't have to do the math there, but always been interested in serving the city. I've served the county as an appointed citizen on the Fulton County Schools Employees Pension Board, so I've always had an interest in lending my expertise, anything financial related. I understand that this board will be considering some bond offerings or refinancing in the future. So anything I can do to help the city and lend my expertise in those financial investment areas, I'd be happy to do so.
Thank you so much for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir. Hello.
Hey, my name is Rob Smith, and I'm being appointed to the Judicial Facilities Authority and the Public Safety and Judicial Facilities Authority as
okay.
well. And so since I'm a little tongue-tied, the gentleman right before me took pretty much every single word out of my mouth, and that's exactly why I'm concerned as well. So, yeah, so I've been a resident of the city since the year 2000. My partner and I live in Grant Park, and I've always wanted to serve the city in some capacity in a greater way. So I just appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate President Mitchell nominating me for this. So.
Any questions or comments? If not, we appreciate your willingness to serve, and thank you. Thank you. So we've had our communication. Ms. Winslow is here just in time. So we'll officially call the meeting to order. I've introduced the members. Ms. Winslow has joined us. We will adopt the agenda. Without objection, we will approve the minutes. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back. We will adopt the agenda with the addition of the two walk-in papers that you have been added, one related to our postage and council expense accounts, and one related to precinct and polling places. If there's no objection from the committee, we'll accept those. And we'll accept them as first reads. Okay? The next is the adoption of the full council agenda. Any discussion or changes? And all favor or motion to approve the council agenda, say aye. All those opposed? Hearing none, the full council agenda is accepted. We're going to put the public comment together since they were so kind to work with us. We have some communications. And we'll start with item number one. It's a communication from Marion Cameron, Chair, Audit Committee, submitting the performance audit report regarding financial disclosures. We've had the presentation by Ms. Ward and by the Ethics Office in their response. Any further questions, comments, or motions? Okay, it's a motion to accept the communication. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, hearing none, it's approved. Item 2, 16C 5045, is a communication by Mayor Kasim Reed, appointing Ms. Kelly Terrell to serve as a member of the Atlanta Fulton County Recreation Authority for the City of Atlanta. This appointment is for a term of 4 years, scheduled to begin with council confirmation. And this one is... the person is not here this time, right? Oh, that was the one that came. Okay. So, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, hearing none, that one's approved. I'm sorry. So, item number 3 is a communication from the Atlanta Board of Education to the Municipal Clerk, Rhonda Dolphin Johnson, appointing Melvin Solomon to the Atlanta Beltline Affordable Housing Advisory Board. This appointment is for a term of 2 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. This one was favorable by public safety. Item 4 is 16C 5072, a communication from Mayor Kasim Reed appointing Mr. Byron Amos to serve as a member of the License Review Board for a term of 2 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. This one also has received a favorable recommendation by Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee. Item number 5, 16C 5073, is a communication from Mayor Kasim Reed appointing Ms. Michonne Williams to serve as a member of the License Review Board for a term of 2 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. I'll take a motion on items 3 through 5.
Motion
is to approve items 3 through 5. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, hearing none, it's approved. Item number 6, 16C 5075, a communication from Mayor Kasim Reed submitting his appointment of Mr. Richard Turnley to serve as a director of the Public Safety and Judicial Facilities Authority for the City of Atlanta. This appointment is for a term of 4 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. This was forwarded with no recommendation from Public Safety Legal Administration. We've heard from him, and I entertain a motion. Motions to approve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, hearing none, it's approved. Item number 7 through 11, I'll take together without objection. 16C 5083, a communication from Council President Cesar C. Mitchell, appointing Mr. Rob Smith to serve as a member of the Public Safety and Judicial Facilities Authority. This appointment is for a term of 4 years, scheduled to begin at the date of council confirmation. It was favorable by Public Safety Legal Administration. 16C 5084, communication from Council President Cesar C. Mitchell appointing Ms. Marilyn Blackwell Wynn to serve as the community appointment to the pre-arrest diversion initiative design team, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. Also received favorable recommendation by Public Safety Legal Administration. Item 9, 16C 5085, a communication from Council President Cesar C. Mitchell appointing Mrs. Suzanne E. Burks to serve on the Jobs in the New Economies Commission. This appointment is for a term of 2 years, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. This was favorable by Community Development and Human Resources. 16C 5086. This one we will not move today because she has not appeared. So I'll go to number 11. 16C 5087, a communication from Council President Cesar C. Mitchell appointing Mr. Andre Dickens to serve as a member of the Pre-Arrest Diversion Initiative Design Team, scheduled to begin on the date of council confirmation. I'll entertain a motion on all those items. It's a motion to approve. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed, hearing none, it's approved. And item 16C 5086, without objection from committee, we will hold that until Ms. Hall is able to attend. All papers that are held in committee will continue to be held. And just a few announcements, and then we'll go to public comment. One, and I'm glad Ms. Archibong is here. Again, we're still appealing for members of the Water Sewer Appeals Board, but what we have found is that because they don't have a quorum and because there's such a workload, they tend to meet more than once a month, and that is keeping other people from interest in it. One suggestion was to have enough people where you might be able to impanel two boards, so the load would be lighter. But all of those things need to be sort of legislatively changed. The Water Sewer Appeal Board.
Okay, that's what you're talking
about.
And so
I'm, again, appealing to city utilities to look at that and see if we can do something. And we're going to put something in everybody's seat so that people will know what vacancies are there so we can work to try to get those. Ms. Winslow.
And my person on Watershed, I mean on the Sewer Water Board, or Water Sewer Board, just actually passed away.
Right.
And I think he was the last person that was actually still serving. I mean, you know, because I think the other people had resigned because of health issues.
Right.
So we do need to populate that board again because it's important. And what's happening is the city's not getting any money for any of those cases, I think, that are being held up. So... and I don't know how many months it's been since they met.
It's a long time. So we got to get on that. The other one is the Elected Officials Compensation Commission. Again, the council has two appointments that we need to make, and I understand the president's office is moving on his. That needs to be done so that they can wrap up their work. I doubt if they'll come out with recommendations for changes for council, but they also review for the school board, and it is a charter required responsibility. And finally, I'm still following up with the president's office so that we can get evaluations to our director and municipal clerk. The other issue is related to budget for council, and instead of spending a lot of time here, we can discuss that as we deal with the budget and any budget amendments that come up during council, and then the first reads we will have those come back. So if there's no other announcements for the committee, we'll now go to public comment so we can perhaps get out in time to go to some of the receptions and get some lunch before our long council meeting. So our first person, ma'am.
Do we have two papers that we're going to walk in today or address today?
I've already walked them in and accept them for first read. They're
okay.
Ordinances.
That's for first read. So... okay, so it's just accept them for first read, right?
Right,
okay.
And I just said we will discuss them at the next meeting.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to excuse myself because I...
No, we ain't going to let you go. No, all of us can go with you.
I got three people that waiting in my office this morning. I'm sorry. But I got to go.
But you were here early.
Okay. I was here.
I know I couldn't stop her. All right, so we have three people. Are these first read? These are, we have three people sign up to speak, and because they have been so diligent in working with us, we're just going to collapse their time together. So, Ms. Campbell, the time frame will be 5 minutes per person. As a matter of fact, make it 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Mr. Howard, you see, I'm giving you a little extra time just for being generous to work with me. So you are first up, 5 minutes and 30 seconds.
Thank you very much. I think that's going to work for us, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. I want to talk about four things, and if the clerk is here to talk about the precincts, I may want to save a minute of my time in case I want to say something about...
We're going to discuss that at the next meeting.
Okay, good. All right. Regarding G1, the communications from... the Audit Committee regarding financial disclosures. I went to the Ethics Office because I went to the website and looked at the financial disclosure of a particular person, and it showed that the individual was filing because he was a city employee. But then when I went to look to see in what capacity the person was serving, it was not there, and there was no provision on the financial disclosure statement for that person to pinpoint just where she was working. And it was important to me because this particular person is a political lobbyist and involved in mayoral campaigns here. And what the ethics office told me to do was to contact HR, Human Resources Department, and the law department. And I said, well, you know, why should somebody have to go all that when all do all that when all they have to do is say in what capacity they're serving? And it's important to know because this particular individual comes to neighborhood planning unit meetings and is voting. I need to know, and has never abstained on anything, even though some of her co-workers who work for the city come to NPUR meetings and abstain on items that are related to their job. So I think that needs to be refined, and we need to know just where in the city, what in what capacity, job function, as a matter of fact, was the word that was used by the auditor. So we need to know what their job function is that needs to be displayed on the website. Let me see here. Oh. Regarding 15R4502 on item, that's item H12 on page 3, that's an item that's circulating where two council members, Councilmember Moore and Councilmember Norwood, are trying to get transparency for the public. Yesterday's Atlanta Journal Constitution on page B3 did a brief but a nice article saying that survey considered for public transparency, and it shows that these two council members are circulating this called Transparency 2.0. So I thought, matter of fact, if you don't have that, I'll leave this for you. So I thought it was good that they picked up on that and are publishing that. Regarding the Elected Officials Compensation Board, yesterday at the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board, we did vote to have our APAB representative to that board, so you'll have another slot filled on that board. And you're welcome. Oh, you saw that? Oh, very. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's very nice of you. Thank you for watching. Lastly, back to the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board. They held an executive committee meeting, impromptu executive committee meeting, a week ago Monday, and that executive committee meeting, which was held in violation of state law, they took some action to impose retribution against Steve Carr because Steve Carr was requesting that the vice president of APAB do his job and get the committees operative. So they decided to remove him as chair of the Committee on Council. A few minutes ago, I went to the ethics, and I met the auditor there too. I went to the ethics office and filed this complaint that meeting be held not be considered null and void because it violated state law. They gave no notice that they were going to have that meeting. So I'm going to request that until such time as you hear from the ethics committee, and until such time as there is a vote by the membership, because in May the membership voted to table that motion. So it should have been tabled and no one should have acted upon it until the membership acted upon it yesterday when the membership didn't. So for those two reasons, the fact that the membership has not voted to remove Steve Carr and that meeting was held illegally, in my estimation, I'm going to ask that you continue to consider Steve Carr as the APAB representative to the City of Atlanta Committee on Council. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and I just want to say, and I'm sure the ethics office would opine, and I think when people send stuff that they need to make sure that they look at the standards of conduct and what their purview is, but they do not, and if I'm incorrect, but they don't, I mean, an ethics violation is not under the purview of them when it relates to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act. The Open Meetings Act is a state law, so if anybody is going to really, I guess, punish someone in some sense for doing something related to that, that would be the state attorney general's office. However, I do think that, you know, APAB, of course, needs to make sure that they're following along with that, so that would be something you might want to bring up as CDHR so that the planning staff and the person who's over the MPUs can help them in making sure they meet the requirements.
Okay? Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Raymond, the Brother Raymond something, but Brother Muhammad was first. And again, to everyone, you need to keep your comments related to Committee on Council activities.
I am that I am, an ancient African and Egyptian monophysite Coptic priest believer. I'm not one who believes in a created image of a human being, but Ptolemy the Fifth, a.k.a. Jesus Christ. My concern is very clear. Let's go back to, as Mr. Howard had commented, on communication, communication from Marion Cameron, chair, audit committee, submitting the performance audit report regarding financial disclosure. I recognize that Ms. Leslie Ward, who is the city auditor, can have that opportunity to speak on that in person, that person's behalf. But when I think about ethics here in Atlanta, I think about the wrong and unfair practice of certain departments that have certain executives that they can allow to be named even on the news, even on Georgia Game, that they had increase in salaries, and then we find that they're responsible for loss of $1 million of equipment, executives in the watershed management. Then we find that there are some poor folks working on the city, not really poor, but people working on an average job, stole a few pieces of pipe, or whatever they stole was wrong. But you put their name all over the city website, you put the name on any other information in the paper, they got it. They got these black folks for stealing, but why not the big rich folks, the ones that done stole millions, got thousands of my dollars? That's ethics. And not only that, as members of the Council on Committee, why don't you speak and say, I know that is sensitive, and so I ought to be able to call somebody in the ethics department on what one of the persons said at the podium this morning. But no, we don't do that. I'm asking you as body members, as I come here, I'm asking for your support. We got things going on in this city that's unfair to certain districts and unfair to the constituents that live in that district. And as you say here, Committee on Council, we have questions pertaining to conflict of interest and standard of conduct about your staff and the relationship. I find that same agenda item pertaining to the things that I just said. And ethics, if you're going to have people in high influential places, treat them like you treat the little man. But don't treat the little man and then just look for another little man and keep misrepresenting him. And as I come and ask you about things in the community, and you members sit on other committees, and you have ones that sit on the Community Development Human Resource Committee, and you got people in my organizations that I associate with say, we don't like certain things there, Brother Muhammad. Please tell the city council. We live in different districts, but we don't like that over there. We don't like seeing that over there, Brother Muhammad. We don't like our children seeing that, Brother Muhammad. So I come and tell y'all like Miss Angela told me, or Miss Johnson, here about 70 years old, over in your district, Miss Creta Winslow. I don't like certain things going on, Brother Muhammad. How can we change it? Somebody got to go tell it. So I'm going to come again and tell you all, as I tell the city council at the full council meeting, you should be able to vote for things collectively for the benefit of your constituents. You shouldn't have things in certain areas that is deplorable, that is derogatory, that is just against the interests of right-thinking people. And then just let it go on year after year. I recognize that you told me that this situation had been going on for 2 years. I saw it this time in July of last year. I waited a couple of months. I said I couldn't take it no more, Ron Shakur. So I went and took some pictures of this particular wrong that Ms. Johnson said and other seniors, even the members at Concerned Clergy Board members say, I don't like looking at those things, Brother Mama. What is that, man? You mean they got that in our community right up the street from where we have our meeting? I'm running on Committee on Council. I was told by the Committee on Council member, Concerned Black Clergy, go and speak out. Go and tell them, but just don't tell them that I sent you down there. Okay. So I'm telling you what they said. But some members of said we need to have somebody speak up, Ms. Moore, and ask you all to be sensitive about the things in our community. And ask you all to have a vote to try to get rid of those things that are insensitive to the members that don't want to have a voice to come down and talk for the problems they find in the community. But if you're not going to do that, Mr. Cecil Mitchell, Don't tell me you want to be mayor, because I'm going to tell everybody in this city that you now need to tell the committee council people to speak up for the interest when I and others bring things to you. Mr. Mitchell, you appoint these folks and they just come when they want to come, don't have to be on time, leave before the meeting over, and I pay my taxes. I want somebody want to be about the work of the city. I want somebody want to be about serving their interest from the time they're supposed to be at the time they leave. Don't tell me every time I come to the committee on council, I got to go, I'm not here, and we got to change the agenda item, change the way we do things, because the people don't show up. That's violating my ethics. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. And so I come to say what I had, share it with you all, and I hope you members of the council, the majority of y'all, take that initiative to vote for something for the benefit of the constituents in your district, Ms. Winslow.
Council members, I stand today. I'm not going to be very long. I thank you for the 5 minutes. My name is Raymond. Raymond, R-A-Y, like everybody loves Raymond, the show. Washington. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm standing today because 7A, it says, well, 7, it says Committee on the Council. It says all operations of the councils, its officers, and employees. C, it says all questions pertaining to conflicts of interest and standards of conduct. Today, I stand before you today as a civilian that has been wronged by this city, by one of the police officers, This happened to have an investigation that was brought forth by the Atlanta Citizen Review Board that met with the chief of police or sent over their recommendation to the chief of police, requesting that he know that they unanimously voted in favor of my complaint and sustained my complaint that the officer that had harassed me and assaulted me, pulled his service revolver on me, and after this officer did this action, the complaint was sent over to the chief of police, where he asserted in his CAD narrative, I'm talking about the officer, that he was looking for a suspect that was 5'7", and of course you know that I'm not 5'7", with multiple tattoos on his neck and his face. After this incident was brought forth to the chief of police, I stand here for every citizen of Atlanta with one question. When a civilian brings an action to the Atlanta Citizen Review Board, when is it policy for the chief of police to use his power when they have voted and said that the officer was guilty in their findings that of all crimes, including excessive force, false imprisonment, and unlawful detaining? I'm asking of this board, shouldn't we change the policy for any person of being an officer or an employee to be able to just say, well, at this time we want to stand neutral and not allow the civilian to be able to have his way, especially when the board have unanimously
stop the clock for a minute, because I do want to respond to you.
Please.
When you started off, I was giving you a little bit more latitude because I thought you were going to whip around back to a committee on council issues. So, number one, the Citizens Review Board, that issue, you really need to go to the Public Safety Committee. That's where the police department and the others, so that they can hear it, because that particular board is under that committee's purview. If there's some policy changes that need to be made in terms of how the police department responds, doesn't respond, acts, or doesn't. Let me say, because I may be wrong, what you say to a decision from the Citizen Review Board, that would be the committee of purview. It would not come before this committee.
Now, so this wouldn't be a policy of ethics? Isn't it a policy of ethics?
No, this would be a policy related to the Citizen Review Board, and that would be under public safety. It wouldn't be something that our ethics office would deal with. It's not under the standard of conduct, but it is specifically under Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee, and that's where you should go because they would talk about and change any policy related to the actions of the Citizen Review Board and the actions of the police department and the chief in particular.
And I respect that, but I just thought that, you know, since it is, you know, this is a full council.
The full council will be at 1 o'clock. You're certainly welcome to bring your issue before then, but I would specifically say the Public Safety Committee. And I think what happens is the word ethics can have a broader connotation, and people assume that we deal with everything in the world, and we don't. But that would be more specifically, if you can come at 1 o'clock, you can start the conversation, but I would say follow it up and go to the Public Safety Committee.
Yes, ma'am. But is it okay?
You still have 3 minutes.
Okay. I just believe that if a civilian, and I thank you for allow me to finish my statement. If a civilian has brought his complaint to the Atlanta Citizen Review Board and they have unanimously voted in his favor, I think it's somewhere along the line we're kind of messing up when we're giving too much power to the chief of police to allow him just to weigh in and say the buck stops here because of his power and his position. Because what we're going to have is, Madam Council Member, is that we're going to have many other problems that's going to start coming out, and we're going to end up having riots and all kinds of actions where people are getting upset because they're bringing their complaint to the Atlanta Citizen Review Board, who has been unanimously voted by the city council members to be a board to be able to speak for that civilian. And if these issues are being brought forth legally and lawfully, and then all of a sudden, we just decided that the wind should start in favor of the police just because of his position. This is not a court, and this is not a court of law. I think that's where there's going to be a problem, and that's just my opinion, but I believe that it's happening all around the country where people are having these issues with the police, and then when they bring an issue to the police, then they, you know, the cities are enforcing these Atlanta Citizen Review Boards, and then nothing is being done. And so that's what I'm saying. And I think, you know, you guys, and I heard one of the council members said that this issue was, the Atlanta Citizen Review Board was started because of the death of Mother Johnson, Miss Catherine Johnson, over on Neal Street. So what I'm saying is that I believe, and I will bring that issue at 1 o'clock, but I believe that there needs to be a change. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I just want to say for the record, since that was Mr. Washington's first time before us, that I allowed him quite a bit of latitude in his speech. But when we have comments in this committee, they should be pertaining to the items on the agenda. Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, we stand adjourned.